for our city. This is the FC Buffalo Show on 91.3 FM, WBNY. Now, from the WBNY studio, here are your hosts, Ben Tsujimoto and Nick Mandola.
How'd that feel?
Great. I hit the mic. Just wanted to make sure it was working. Nick Mandola here from NBC Sports Pro Soccer Talk, along with Ben Tsujimoto from the Buffalo News soccer blog. That's soccer.buffalonews.com.
Back in my old role, Nick.
Back in your old role, no longer driving the proverbial car.
Mm-hmm.
There's a half a wheel on each side now. You drove it last week with the FC Buffalo co-owner Scott Fraunhofer, which we are grateful he filled in. Speaking of guests, University at Buffalo men's soccer coach Stu Riddle will join us at 5:15. We'll talk about their recruiting class. So if I'm not mistaken, I know St. Bonaventure released a couple names, but that was the only formal class released from the Big Four men's sides. I didn't see anything from Canisius.
Nope.
And I know, obviously, we had Bill Boyle on a couple weeks ago. Got a bit of a late start, so I'm sure he'll want to announce everything together, and that might explain the delay there.
It's the same thing with Canisius. They plan on releasing names maybe mid-March or late March, so I don't know if that's because they're looking at international players or they're just kind of taking their time getting everything together.
But well, you get the window to yourself, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the risk of offending anyone, there is a bit of a almost conference trickle-down, too, that probably has some effect there.
Yeah.
Where... and it certainly must happen even to a UB as they wait out who's going to UCLA and Stanford and they wait for their program to go. You wait for your yes or your no before things completely move on. But I want to begin. There is a Buffalo event coming up this weekend. I don't know if you're participating in it.
I am, actually.
The Winter Cup.
Yes.
Run by the Buffalo Soccer Council, who are holding a council on fun this weekend at Delaware Park. It's going to be very, very cold, Ben. It's supposed to be very cold. Still thinking, I don't know if it's too late. I've been thinking about putting together a team because I've run into some people who know. The old shoulder is going to be a problem, though.
Uh-oh.
So I thought to myself, who from the world of either Buffalo sports or just the world of soccer would you want on this frigid day who is best suited for your Winter Cup team? Now, keep in mind the Winter Cup is usually played in snow.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually very hard to run. There's a lot of falling over. It's even harder to generate power on your shot. So, given all of that, where would you go?
Do we need to have soccer players here?
Doesn't have to be.
Oh, all right. I was thinking immediately.
I would suggest not saying a tauntaun or something along those lines.
They are well acclimated as opposed to who I was.
I was going to call you Kylo Ben.
I am pretty emotional.
Yeah, that's true.
No, my first thought was Dante Whitner, which is probably messed up.
Oh, boy.
But
he's powerful.
Let me talk about his value. Like, he could just crush people.
And talk a lot of smack.
Yep, and people would just get so annoyed with him that they would probably just not continue to participate. But if I was to say soccer players, I would say Jake Reno in a heartbeat.
Okay.
Jake Reno, he's good technically, but he is not a guy you want to go in with on a tackle.
And actually part wolf.
Yep, and that's all the snow tournament is 50-50 balls in snow. So you can't trust your touch, but if you're more physical and you're more aggressive, so Jake Reno would be one of my defenders. Going up top, I would probably say somebody like Alex Rouse, just because he's crazy but strong, and that's another thing that's important, not so much the crazy, but the physicality and winning balls in front of goal, and same thing in the Reno idea is just to be tough.
That's a tough team to play against.
Oh, yeah. Chris Walter, too. That's my other one.
Might want to go with Peter Crouch.
Mm.
Lanky. Lanky, wide. Any ball that pops up in the air, he's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to generate some power with those spindly limbs. And if the ball pops up into the air, which it's wont to do, there's a good chance he gets a piece of it.
Good chance he complains a lot, too.
Good chance he complains a lot. So Peter Crouch would be in my discussion for my teammates. I also would consider... I have to be fair here. Liam Neeson, I think, could be a good. He's been in some movies like that Wolf one, where he's comfortable outside and is elegant. There's a toughness quotient with him that I think people aren't gonna screw around with. And if I have to go back to the world of soccer, I think I would want, or not, oh, I'm sorry, back to the world of athletics. I think I would go along your lines, and I may add another Buffalo malcontent in Marshawn Lynch.
Mm.
Because who, he loves soccer.
Yep.
He's a lunatic.
And he's also newly retired.
Yes. And who is going to mess with Sean Lynch, as his name is on Twitter?
That's right.
You're not going to want to run into that dude on a cold day.
Nope.
I could see him being very intimidating.
And Beast Mode will bring some post-game Skittles, too. So you'll
maybe
be
some in-game Skittles. I like to think that if there were a video game involving him, like one of his things he would do, like you push a button, he just starts shooting, machine-gunning Skittles out of his mouth. A combination of Skittles and Spittle.
Hard to say.
Very difficult to say. So that was my thought. While we move into this, and we're going to have Stu Riddle join us at 5:15, very interesting news today. Hard news for one of my favorite young defenders, and that's Kurt Zouma from Chelsea, who was hurt very badly against Manchester United. It turned out to be an ACL tear on Sunday, and he is out for a minimum of 6 months. And that it came after the transfer deadline makes it very interesting because Chelsea has the following options. One, John Terry and Gary Cahill, who seemingly both will start for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
But they're still in the FA Cup. They are still in the Champions League, so there's a congested schedule. Center backs, a pretty demanding position. And the third guy on that list is Matt Miazga.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean that outside backs won't jump in. That doesn't mean they won't try and do something with Branislav Ivanovic. There are three players on loan that maybe they can emergency recall. Christensen is one.
Well, they have like 4,000
Michael
people
Hector,
on loan, so.
Center backs, though.
Oh, okay.
Michael Hector is the guy they signed from Reading this year and then or from somewhere and then immediately put him on loan.
Mm.
And there's another one as well. But Matt Miazga of the United States, 20 years old, just signed by Chelsea.
21
now. 21. Okay. In the transfer window in January, stands to get significant playing time at Chelsea at center back. Now, granted, they are not likely to be in the Champions League next year, and they're not in a title race here. But it's the highest profile positional player in the United States to be playing abroad since X.
Jeff Cameron, right? I mean,
sure. Jeff Cameron, yes, but Chelsea center back to me.
Oh, okay.
I think it goes beyond Stoke. It goes beyond Brad Guzan. It goes beyond, for the most part, Tim Howard.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Howard is really the only other one that I would consider.
I'm going to say, Tim, my first thought, my gut instinct, Ben, was Tim Howard when he was at Manchester United.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's one in the interim.
And I think Everton is fairly close, too. You know,
sure.
Everton's right on the cusp of being in those massive eight clubs, right?
Right. Assuming here... I forget they have Dynamo Kiev. I can't remember who they have in the next round.
Yeah.
But if Matt Miazga walks into or starts a Champions League game at center back, I think that has to be highest profile, a knockout round game.
Yeah.
Going back to Howard, obviously you've got Christian Pulisic who's starting to make an impact at Dortmund.
Yeah.
You have you've in the past had Fabian Johnson in the Champions League as well, but a big step. And now you can look at we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Miazga at Chelsea, Julian Green at least was in the Champions League in a game for Bayern Munich.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe some small steps there, kind of exciting.
How awesome has this last month been for Miazga? You know, he gets Chelsea buys him, and John Terry immediately says, you know, I'm not going to come back next year.
Right.
So that opens a door. There was the initial thought that Miazga was going to get loaned out like all the other Chelsea players. Then Goose Hitting says, oh, you're going to be a squad player.
Yeah.
And now the Kurt Zouma situation opens up even more playing time. And this is all within a span of a month, you know, like this is not providential necessarily, but there's a lot of chips that are falling into place. Weird chips, I think, that are playing in Miazga's favor. I think it's going to be too much too soon, though. It's not easy to to go from the MLS to the EPL to such a club with such massive expectations, and I don't know if Miazga can handle that right off the bat.
I agree. It's going to be a big challenge. Fortunately, does have international experience, has recently played in a U-20 World Cup, or U-19, can't remember, whichever one fit his age group at that time. I think what's more likely is you'll see, I don't have all their games in front of me, but I think you're going to see Chelsea go with Cahill and Terry, provided they don't pick up any knocks, as they are wont to say in England, and you will see him in the fifth round of the FA Cup. I think they'll probably say, look, we We know we need to win a tournament to get to Europe next year, but you may see him against Manchester City in the next round of the Cup. Let's see where you're at, son.
Miazga and Aguero.
Well, if they even play Aguero. They're up for a quadruple still.
Yeah.
It has been a crazy year. I'm very excited to see Miazga. I like the idea of him and Brooks as a center-back pairing, and I think this fast-forwards that. I would be shocked if Brooks isn't the center-back for the Copa America Centenario, probably alongside Cameron. Beisler hasn't impressed a ton, but he's a good fit for the squad as well. And you may see a final answer there. This is very, very premature.
You know, Nick, I want to butt in and talk about John Anthony Brooks because I know he's had outstanding club form in Germany, but whenever I've seen him in a U.S. uniform, he seemed very limited. You know, a guy who can win a lot of balls in the air, he's pretty physical, but it always seems like his lack of pace was exploited by someone. He has just looked a little uncomfortable, I think, in the U.S. uniform. And it's not, there's no shortage of precedents, too, in terms of guys who've had a lot of club success at a decent level and then put on the national team uniform and, you know, it hasn't worked out for one reason or another. So I'm just wanted to say that I'm concerned about John Anthony Brooks. I don't think he is a shoo-in is the answer. I'd like to see him be it, but I don't think he's a shoo-in.
I think he is close to a shoo-in if they put a working center back next to him.
Yeah.
We have seen Orozco. We have seen Alvarado. And again, depending on how you look at the U.S. men's national team, this has been a try-me year for Jurgen Klinsmann.
Mm.
I'm going to throw guys into the mix, and I'm going to see what happens. I'm even going to see if Jermaine Jones can do a job for me. Very questionable move. I think when you look at Jones, not to get too far away from Brooks, but Klinsmann is at a point where I've got this 36-year-old guy. I can't turn him into a goalkeeper. I see him as a workable piece for me, but when he's 38, is he going to be able to do a job for me in the central midfield?
You know, when Jurgen writes the team sheet out, he always just writes
Jones.
In Jermaine Jones.
Absolutely.
And then the other 10 names come after that.
He is a wild card. I'll say this. He's still absolutely, as a midfielder, deserving to be in the fold.
Not
as a starter.
I begrudgingly agree with you.
It's not a good compliment for the United States.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But he does bring things that a lot of other... So, like, if you were to compare Jermaine Jones and Kyle Beckerman, I still think Jones has a little bit more of an edge.
He's just more of an athlete.
Yeah, and he can play 90 minutes. I think Beckerman, you know, has a little bit more of a difficult time. Jones covers a little bit more ground, I think, than Beckerman. Jones, while Beckerman's foot skills are probably better, Jones is a better tackler, I think.
Sure.
Some people may debate.
Jones could have been a linebacker, is the point I'm making. Kyle Beckerman is suited for soccer, surfing, snowboarding.
Yeah,
Ziggy Marley concerts.
Yes.
So, I think there's something to be said for that. I think Brooks is almost a sure thing. The Bundesliga is a very, very good league for producing center backs. He is chewing up minutes on a team that is a little different than Leicester, but surprisingly number three in the Bundesliga, a very good league. He's playing with, and I think that's one of the things you're seeing. I can't remember his partner's name, but it's a veteran player who's very good. And for me, he is it would be absolutely shocking. I mean, I think he may have just turned 23.
Oh, yeah. He's still super young.
He's got a lot to do, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with the United States men's national team.
And it brings up a really good topic that you wrote about either today or yesterday about how the U.S. qualifiers – and also the U.S. U-23s play in the same dates in March.
Yeah, it's a real challenge. The U.S. put themselves in a pickle because, fortunately, this is the round where they're playing the likes of a Guatemala still.
Right.
So if they were to slide Bobby Wood and John Brooks and Matt Miazga down to the Olympic team for those playoffs against Colombia, I don't think they'll suffer too much. But, again, this is that's what you get when you don't perform in big games. Speaking of big game performers, we saw a lot of that towards the end of the year for the University at Buffalo men's soccer team.
He's talking about me.
Ben Sugimoto did a terrific job out there, suging it up. And we have their head men's soccer coach, Stu Riddle, joins us. They released their, I believe it was 5 recruits joining the fold for next season up at UB Stadium. And Stu, how are you today?
Great, thank you. Thanks for having me on, Nick.
Really excited. You have a quintet of players coming to town. It's hard to know where to start, but I'll start with the most interesting one. How does one go about bringing in a captain, fifth-year center back to just plop right into your team in Brian Hindle from DePaul?
We sort of got lucky with this one. We got an email from Brian at the end of the fall season indicating that he had a year of eligibility left and was going to be graduating in May, and he was looking to come to a university that offered a one-year's master's program, and UB was one of three institutions nationwide that did that. So for us, we looked at it as a no-brainer, really, when you get a guy that's been a two-year captain for a team in the Big East that wants to come to you and be a part of your program. It was the perfect fit. So Brian came in for a visit. He got along really well with the lads. We liked his personality. He's a great student, and he's going to be a really top player for us as well next fall.
Stu, you've got a luxury now with Hindle coming into the fold, and you already have pretty good center backs. You know, you have Fox Lottemaker, Nick Forrester can play there, David Entrem can play there. You have real luxuries there, but how do you plan going about using those four?
Well, I think it's a good situation to be in. I think, you know, realistically, over the last couple of years, we've probably lacked a little bit of depth, and we're going to have that now, which we need to be if we're going to move on and become a better team. So, you know, for me, it's going to be three or four guys fighting it out for two positions, and the top two performers and the best two guys, you know, on that particular occasion are going to win that battle. So it's a great position to be in as a coach. You know, I hope the players are relishing the challenge ahead of them as well, because as you referenced, we've made the team a lot stronger with the addition of not only all these players, but Brian specifically from the defensive standpoint.
One thing you mentioned to me when we talked, I think it was last week, Tommy Fogarty Cameron, coming over from Lubbock Christian for, I guess, his last 2 years of eligibility here to UB. He sort of has an advantage in that he's already training with you guys, and you said you've seen some very good things. Can you tell me a little bit about Tommy Fogarty Cameron and what you've seen so far?
Yeah, it's another interesting one with Tommy, because we get hundreds of emails a week from kids that are looking to transfer or want to be recruited as an incoming freshman. And, you know, you scroll through the videos, and this one sort of caught my eye, and I sent it on to the assistants, and they all agreed that the lad looked pretty sharp. So, you know, we delved a little bit deeper and got some very good references on him from a multitude of opponent coaches and his own coach down at Lubbock Christian, who was leaving the program. So we decided to bring him in, and he's looked really sharp in training. He's, you know, he's probably a little bit off match fitness, which is fine for this time of year, but as soon as he gets up to the speed and quickness of the Division I game, I think he's going to provide that attacking spark from central midfield that we've probably lacked a little bit in years.
What's really exciting in terms of this window is that you're a fan of the program. You are, it's always fun. I'll make an NFL comparison, Stu. If your team has a quarterback and has wide receivers and is looking for a depth at a 350-pound left tackle, it's not always the most fun time before the draft or free agency. But you guys were in a spot where you had good center backs, you have some good defensive players, and obviously some good offensive players as well, but you could take some swings in this window and commit to attacking talent, which is, I mean, if you're a fan, let's face it, we love goals in soccer. This is a really fun class, I think, for fans, and I would imagine for you as well.
It really is. I mean, we did a lot of analysis at the end of the season, and the first thing, you know, we have to look at this from a business model perspective, and we have to get better. You know, we can't be sitting there happy that we were runners-up to Akron. Otherwise, we're ultimately going to go backwards. So what that's meant is that we've got to bring in better players than what we've got right now. And we've got to challenge the current group. And if the current players aren't happy with that, well, they need to consider whether they want to be a part of this program. So I feel really good about the group that we've got coming in. And, you know, we're going to have a lot more competition throughout the squad, which needs to happen if we're going to try and break down that wall between us and Akron.
Stu, can you tell us a little bit about Linkfist and Vieira and is it Juzak?
Yes, yeah, so Juzak is a local lad from North Tonawanda, Grand Island area, and he's going to come in under no illusion, really. You know, he understands that we've got two very good goalkeepers that have been here a couple of seasons now and have performed very well when they've got the opportunity to play. So he's coming in as a guy that's probably going to be filling that number three spot right away. But he's happy with that on the understanding that he's going to work with Coach Matt Brown and really develop until he gets his opportunity to play a little bit further down the line. Linkvist was, you know, we lost three seniors and only Marcus Hansen really played significant minutes last year, and he was a winger for us. And I went over to a showcase in Sweden, and I was quite fortunate. There wasn't many coaches there, and the ones that were there were looking for players right up and down the core of their team. And Rickard was just outstanding that weekend and the most athletic player there. So I think, you know, Bulls fans and Western New York soccer fans are going to really be excited to see Rickard in action. And, you know, when we look at Russell Cicerone on one ring and Rickard on the other, I think we're going to be providing a lot of opportunities for guys to score goals.
And then obviously, go ahead.
Sorry, and then with Felipe, it's another interesting one because I've got a contact out in British Columbia who a number of years ago when I was at Western Michigan sent me an exceptional player in Darren Jones, and he hasn't reached out to me since. So when he does, I know that, you know, there's something special out there, and I got the opportunity to go out and watch Felipe Vieira play. And he got a knock early on in the match that I saw. I saw enough to know that, you know, he's going to be a very good player for us over the 4 years he'll be here. And I see him sort of shadowing Daniel Cremorosa in that first year. Very similar players, almost identical stature, left-footed technical players. And I think we've got a really good one on our hands with him.
Stu, when you look ahead, you look now to this training, to the winter training sessions, it's a challenge because of the restrictions placed on programs by the NCAA and making sure that kids after that very busy fall can ease into their semesters. So when you're looking to build right now, what are you looking to find in the winter? Because it's not like you're going to be able to train 5 days a week and find this cohesion and find this instant chemistry. What is the winter used for those who might not be familiar with the college soccer calendar?
Well, it depends on where you're at with the development of the program. If you need individual specifics worked on with players technically, you can use it for that time. But for this particular team, I think we need to work on some specifics. So, you know, we spent a lot of time as a staff over the winter period when the players were gone, rewatching the games from the fall and really seeing where some problems lay. And, you know, one example I can give you is that in the last 12 games of the year, we only conceded one goal from open play. The rest came from set pieces. So that's an area that, as a team, we've got to do better at, and we can use the spring training sessions to make sure that we get that cleaned up before the fall. You know, another area that we've really got to improve on, you know, as a team, is playing forward quicker. I think at times we're far too comfortable going sideways and backwards in possession and not really looking at your opposition defences. So we can place restrictions and possession activities to make sure that we are finding targets quicker and looking to play the ball forward. So, you know, there's a couple of examples of how we are specifically going about things for the spring and how you can go about things despite the restrictions that you've got.
Stu, is there a feeling that 2016 is the University at Buffalo's year? Because it seems like everything is slowly moving in that direction. You know, you're able to land two transfers who can probably make an impact off the bat. You have Russell Cicerone, MAC Player of the Year, who comes back for his senior year. It seems like things are really shaping up to peak at this year.
Look, you hope so. I mean, obviously, we've had a good upswing from day one. There's been progression every year, and naturally we want to take that next stage now. But, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic because you never know what can happen, and an injury can change things, and a bit of bad luck or a refereeing decision can change things. And, you know, the hope is that we're going to take that next stage and move forward. But, you know, I know from experience my fourth year at Western Michigan, when I felt I had the best team, we didn't even make the conference semifinals. And that was with a group of guys similar to the ones that we've got right now that are going to be going into their fourth year. So, but, you know, I've learned from that experience as a coach, and we've just got to make sure the players are focused and working hard every day and pushing themselves to the limit every day to get better. Otherwise, like I said earlier, we're just going to go backwards and stagnate, and that's not what we want.
Stu, a couple of questions that I think, you know, again, these are questions for the wider audience because we get pretty familiar with it. When can we expect any home games in the spring schedule, and when does the schedule for the fall come out anyways?
Yeah, we've got a lot of home games in the spring, including one that's penciled in being the Rochester Rhinos right now. So we'll get that up. It's a little bit unfortunate with the spring schedule that there are no contracts in place, so things can change at the drop of a hat, and that's happened to us a couple of times. But I think in total we've got 8 spring games lined up, and 6 of which will be at home, and probably one that we're really going to publicize and try and make a good event of. There's a visiting university team coming over from New Zealand, and they're going to be playing a team in Hawaii and then 3 teams here in Western New York. And we're really going to play that on a Friday night in early April and really try and get a good crowd out there. So that will be a good one. And then as far as the fall schedule, you know, it's pretty much locked in now. We've got 10 home games and 10 away, which I feel really good about moving forward. You know, there's no lopsided mess of away matches. And that will probably be released as soon as the spring is completed and we've wound down with games from the spring.
How'd you manage to land a team from New Zealand? That's pretty far flung.
Yeah, it's a friend of mine, a former teammate of mine that started an academy at Waikato University just south of Auckland. And he's had this thing rolling for about 3 or 4 years now. And one trip when I went back, he invited me to come down and see the players. And at that stage, they, you know, I didn't think anyone was at the level that we would need to look at for players. But he's established that program and got it going to the point now where he feels like they can be competitive. And he wants to give us players the chance of competing against U.S. colleges and maybe getting the opportunity to transfer across and play at this level. So it's going to be an exciting time. We've set up a good schedule for them. They're going to play against Niagara. They're going to play against Canisius. They're going to play us and then Buffalo State as well. So it should be a good little week that they'll be here in town.
Stu, last year you and your team went to England for, what was it, a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, 10 days. Last spring.
Looking back at that experience, is there anything that you were able to implement there or use there as a learning tool that can also be used, you know, this spring in Western New York rather than England?
I think what the lads really developed that was that great camaraderie. I mean, we had the bulk of the lads that were on that team had been together for 2 years, and we were at that middle point where they had another 2 years to graduate. So getting that team bonding element was huge. You know, I think as well, it's important to highlight how far, you know, just seeing the level of professionalism. I think, you know, the lads can tell you firsthand when they went to see Chelsea and Manchester City play, to sit there and watch these guys warm up and the focus that is involved from the moment they step on that field to the moment they leave was a real eye-opener for them. And I think that they definitely benefited from that. So, again, we'll just continue to push them and remind them of those things and draw on those experiences and make sure everyone's on their toes and getting better.
All right, Stu, we appreciate your time. Any parting thoughts, anything we should have asked you? Should we have asked you about Jurgen Klopp's appendix? What's
I think that the more we can steer away from Liverpool, probably the better right now.
All right, thank you so much for joining us, Stu. We're going to take a break. And when we get back, it'll be me and the Suge talking lots of stuff. Premier League. Leicester City still on top.
The Foxes.
MLS questions as well. Sebastian Giovinco scored a beauty, but that is pretty much any day of the weekend ends in a Y for him. Back in a minute on WBNY. As usual, Ben Tsujimoto leads us in with a grungy guitar riff.
Riveting.
He is.
Them licks.
The hot licks of the Suge. Do want to make a quick I'm going to support the supporters of WBNY, that commercial for Rise Above Tattooing. Eric Foster, the tattooer there, that's what it's tattooed on his knuckles, tattooer, I think.
Because tattoo artists wouldn't fit.
No, it's just what they call themselves, Ben.
Tattooers?
He actually gave me my tattoo, and he is unbelievable. Oh. He's a very, very good artist, and I would encourage anyone who's considering making that sort of a decision to talk to Eric. Eric with an H, like E. Rich.
Oh, E. Rich.
Eric Foster, very good man. Very good man. Likes good music.
Like Intergalactic French Toast?
Might like them. Yeah. I would enjoy eating. I'm it made me hungry. What kind of syrup do you put on Intergalactic French Toast?
Oh, it's a thick maple syrup.
It tastes like a Milky Way, clearly. So we are hanging out here at the Football Club of Buffalo show. Thanks to Stu Riddle for the University of Buffalo, from the University at Buffalo for joining us. Be a fun year next year in men's soccer. Canisius has some holes to fill that may be filled. Why wouldn't you put it that way? They have some extra responsibility that will go on players who played a lot for them last year.
Yeah,
Niagara is certainly going to be a work in progress, but I think most people familiar with the program should say that they didn't get as much out of their talent as they should have. So they should be on their eyes. And I think Kwame Oduro is doing some great things to St. Bonaventure. So they have a very difficult conference, much like UB, to navigate, but they should at least be significantly improved next year with Kosi. I'm not going to try his last name. Still not comfortable with that. His second year, and Kieran Toland as a junior.
Kosi Nwafornzo.
Is that correct?
It is correct. Yeah.
Yes, I know how to spell it, but I don't know how to say it. So, but before we go any further, it is absolutely imperative that we acknowledge that right now, legitimately, not. Yeah, they're in first. Leicester City is the favorite to win the Premier League.
5 points up.
They dominated Manchester City, or they had someone spike Yaya Toure's drink to make sure that he took one of his patented once every three games off.
Mm.
But Leicester City controlled that game, dominated it. Huth got a brace. Riyad Mahrez was back to the level that we saw early in the season, and they looked very difficult to break down.
The goal that Mahrez scored is worth watching again for sure. He's
just phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely nice little scoop over a sliding defender and then puts Demichelis in no man's land with the scissors and then just smacks it past Hart. He's a special player. And it's funny because the one guy in that team that doesn't really get as much credit as he probably should is N'Golo Kanté, you know, the holding center mid. He's just everywhere. It's amazing if you watch a Leicester game and follow just him alone on the screen, the amount of ground that he covers, and it's not running aimlessly. He's running to break up attacks. He's running to get involved going forward. He's a way better transitional, you know, defense to offense kind of connector than maybe he's given credit for, because he's sort of seen as a destroyer, you know. But he can lead a breakout too, and he can help Mahrez and Vardy, who really have no defensive responsibilities at all, to go forward.
And they have several players who just don't get a ton of talk at all. Wes Morgan, obviously, Jamaican, I believe, the center back. They have Schmeichel, who's done a pretty decent job between the sticks. And I really like Danny Drinkwater. It used to just be for his name and because I wanted the jersey. But I really appreciate them. And you look at a team that has a 5-point lead on the rest of the field right now, 6 points ahead of Man City. It is almost, given the way they play, and barring insane injuries, and they still have Gökhan İnler on the bench, it's very difficult to imagine they won't finish in the top four.
Mm-hmm.
It would take Manchester United has 12 points behind them. They're at 41 in fifth place. And even that point, you may see the fifth place will certainly qualify for the Europa League, but it's Leicester City's world. They are the favorites. Make a case that they're not.
And
Spurs don't get a chance to chase them down. They're 5 points behind, and they've already played Leicester. Arsenal plays them this week, but that's it. No one else can take 3 points while depriving them of points the rest of the season.
Well, Arsenal could make it very interesting next Sunday,
yep.
I think. If they win and they cut it to 2 points, and then all it takes is a Leicester draw and an Arsenal win or something like some combination like that just to... But, I mean, we've seen Leicester challenged quite a bit, you know, and they've passed all those challenges. That was really what we thought was going to be a very difficult Thanksgiving time through Christmas.
Yeah, the festive season, they call it over there.
Festive season, and they thrived in there. And it was nice to see Jamie Vardy rewarded with a new deal. I imagine, like, I'm going to send you this question. Like, what should we really look into that deal at all? Like, does it really matter a lot?
No, it's hey, thanks for staying here in January.
Seriously.
Yeah, but he works his butt off. It's just a matter of how long he can possibly last. Let's just follow me here, because they get past Arsenal. Let's say Arsenal wins and Spurs win this weekend, and it's a 2-point lead for Leicester on the crowd. Do you want to know the rest of the way?
Sure.
Home to Norwich City.
Mm.
Home to West Brom. Away to Watford. Home to Newcastle. Away to Palace, home to Southampton, away to Sunderland, home to West Ham, home to Swansea, away to Man United. That is not a terribly challenging schedule.
It's not. I could see Watford and Crystal Palace being sticky.
Oh, sure. And Southampton's good, and Manchester United is good, but in terms of wearing our newfound Leicester is good glasses, and this is a real thing, there is no Spurs, there's one Arsenal, no Man City, and you know, even a team that is a matchup problem for them, like an Everton, they don't face. So I still won't predict them to win, but I call them the favorites. I'm interested in what Spurs do. I'm interested in what Spurs do. And again, as we've mentioned on the show before, it's the same. Spurs are facing the same questions that Leicester is facing. You know, can you do it?
Spurs are deeper, I think.
Sure, Spurs also in Europe, though.
True.
Still in Europe. Mm-hmm. Leicester has this.
Yeah.
We have this. I don't even know if they're in the FA Cup. I haven't checked. I think they are. But they're out of the League Cup, obviously, which is almost over as it is. So
Leicester hasn't really faced a stroke of bad luck yet, though. And I think that's bound to happen at some point. I mean, this is a long season, a 38-game season, right? I mean, there is still time for things to go awry. And I'm not wishing anything bad on Mahrez.
No, I think we're all rooting for them in a sense.
Yeah, just because it's so unheard of, you know? I mean, there's really not a lot of... What is you can look back all the way... Is it Blackburn a bunch of years ago? Is it a team that came out of nowhere, sort of? But
yeah, but the difference with Blackburn, and I believe it's 94-95 season, 95 is definitely in there. I just can't remember if it was the beginning year or the end year, is they spent a lot of money. They bought Alan Shearer, not Joe Cole, whichever Cole was the Cole who scored at the time.
Ooh, Andy Cole.
Andy Cole, yes. Mm-hmm. That's what I was and it may have not been Andy Cole. I was 13.
Could have been King Cole.
It could have been Coca-Cola. I don't know.
Ooh,
but
I had some Coca-Cola in there.
Well, that's not very healthy, unless they're an advertiser here on WBNY.
That's true.
I can't remember who else they bought. There was a keeper in there as well, but they raided the Premier League and just said, we are going to invest all in 1 year to get ourselves atop the table. I'm going to have to look it up now because it's going to drive me bonkers. But no, we haven't seen anything like it. The question, however, I did realize, and I thought it was very funny, you know, we asked the question on NBC, would it be the best sports story, you know, in history? What would it be? And people immediately posted story. We were like, wow, that is better. Yes, that's better. But we're magnifying it because it's the Premier League.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing with we've seen center backs play in the Champions League for the United States or players. But it's not Matt Miazga and it's not for Chelsea in the knockout round. So it's, you know, it's an important thing to remember.
Yeah, I think it'll be a really good answer to a trivia question one day. But I don't think it's really that landscape altering.
It's not landscape altering, but it is. It's just very surprising. The captain, by the way, of that Blackburn team, Tim Sherwood.
Oh, interesting.
Tim Sherwood, Graham Lasso, Alan Shearer. They bought Tim Flowers. So that was Shea Given was the backup keeper. They were just a very, very good team.
I feel like Shea Given has been everyone's backup keeper once upon a time.
Shea Given, the Andy Coughlin of the Premier League, because Andrew Coughlin and Shea Given about the same height.
Mm.
Always impressed.
6-foot-ish.
Yeah, ish.
Ish.
Yeah, Shea Given even smaller. So.
Wow.
I wanted to, we don't always get into the other nations that are thriving, the other countries and some of the things that are going on, but I want to get there after one more thing. The bottom of the Premier League, everybody talking up Aston Villa after a big win over Norwich City. And you may have seen my post today on Pro Soccer Talk. They have a hellacious schedule the rest of the way. They are just as cooked as they seem. 8 points back of Newcastle, a Newcastle team that has a favorable schedule. And frankly, I'm not just saying this, full marks here, full bias alert. They are the team I would prefer to see win every game. But I just don't see them as a horrible, horrible squad that's going to be in the mix. Swansea above them, Bournemouth, West Brom are the three teams that I think could drop. And I don't necessarily expect that with Swansea. But Aston Villa, Sunderland, Norwich as 2019-18, I would not be surprised to see them in that order at the end of the year.
I'm surprised to see Swansea City down there that low. I mean, of the teams down there, the goal differential is -9. All the other ones are about twice that much that are near them, you know?
Yeah, Gomez stopped scoring. AU is, I believe, in the top 5 in goals for a Premier League goal scorer. Sigurdsson's been very good this year. Ashley Williams has been pretty good at center back. But mostly, I think they struggled with, well, now they're on their third manager this season because the interim boss was there for so long. But they basically said, Gary Monk, thanks for that great surprise season last year. You couldn't keep it up, so you're gone. And now they're a completely different structure under, I'm going to say it wrong, but Guidolin, their Italian coach.
And that's strong.
Guidolin, maybe.
Francesco Guidolin.
Yeah. So very interesting to see how that shakes out. Italy has not been fun Italy has been fun, I should say, this year. I was confusing it with France. The thing that is making me pay attention to Serie A is that you are now seeing the traditional powers, the top 6 in Italy. We learned a little bit when AC Milan and Inter dropped off that there is a bit of fun to having favorites. You know, Napoli is first, then Juve, Fiorentina, Inter, AS Roma, and Milan. You need your good teams to be good most of the time. Otherwise, a story like Leicester City isn't as impressive. And I know that sounds goofy, but, you know, Sassuolo at 7 right now. has to think to themselves, man, we're behind all the teams we kind of figured we'd be behind. Now we've got to thrust into that. Do you think that if every league was wide open every year, it would be as attractive, the stories?
No, because I think the expectations are different for different clubs. And I think that's just part of the beauty and the balance of a sport, you know, to have a top half and a bottom half and have teams that are supposed to win and teams that are the underdogs, right? Because that makes the story like Leicester a lot more appealing. But a random Serie A question for you, Nick. Is Napoli usually a Serie A power?
They've been in Europe the last few years, and they have invested well in the players they do have. Higuain, obviously, is a fantastic player.
Yeah.
You know, Benitez was their manager for a while and did some good things to stabilize their club. So, yes, it is. It's impressive that they're still at the top, and we would be talking about that if it wasn't for the fact. I think Juve hasn't lost since, like, October. They started the year 3 wins, 3 draws, and 4 losses, something like that, and then just stopped losing. Yes, that's what it, because they've won their last 14 in league. And maybe had a bit of a hangover, had to deal with. I mean, as much as Pirlo was poor for New York City this year, or at least relatively poor, this was a Juve team that had to get used to not having him around for the first time in a while. Here's something that blew my mind when it comes to Serie A. Daniele De Rossi of Roma. Can you name any other club he played on, and how old do you think he is?
Okay, let's see. De Rossi, I would say, is probably like 34.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because I thought he was like 52. He's 31.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just broke through the national team at a very young level. He's been a big part of their rise. He's, frankly, one of the reasons I wish we still saw him with Bradley, although they have they've had Nangolin and some other players over there.
Did he play for a different club?
Club guy, which surprised me as well.
Wow.
So that'll be that's another thing that's interesting to monitor. Whether when they catch them. Bayern Munich threatened to make the Bundesliga interesting this weekend by drawing Bayer Leverkusen, and Dortmund responded by drawing themselves. So it's still an 8-point lead.
They drew themselves, huh?
Well, they drew as well.
Oh, they drew as well. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's still an 8-point lead between Bayern and Dortmund, and the 10-point lead between Dortmund and Hertha.
Yeah.
So thanks for nothing, Bundesliga.
I know, and it was one of those situations where Pep apparently was like experimenting with his formations, and
he can do that.
Trying with like a brand new center back pairing, and
he was playing Neuer at striker.
Yes, he's starting to fool around. And
Philipp Lahm stood on top of the goal for 40 minutes.
Some people were trying to make connections to the fact that Guardiola is going to City next year, so like, oh, this part of this Bayern funk, if you can call it a funk in one game, is due to that. And maybe you can make the case more so for City going down to Leicester like that, but I still don't even think that's the case. I think that's just sort of a conclusion that you can't really draw accurately, that some of these managers who aren't coming back are having an effect on the team right now.
I'll be interested to see, as we obviously go from Bundesliga back to the Premier League, where the moves happen next year, because Klopp has this will be his first true window, and he has vast experience, resources, and players that he prefers in the Bundesliga. And the same thing can be said for Pep with Bayern Munich. And as it stands, Bayern has been taking a lot of players from Dortmund. So where do their allegiances lie? Not that Toni Kroos or Marco, I always say it wrong, Marco Reus.
Royce.
It's hard because the E and the U, I always say that wrong. And that's not like me being goofy trying to mispronounce it. I always struggle with Reus. Lewandowski, Lewandowski, etc. It's going to be interesting to see where those allegiances lie, because the money is going to be there for them to come to the Premier League. I saw somewhere people talking about how Newcastle spent something like $40 million in the transfer window. The last place team in the Premier League this year, the team that gets sent down, their parachute payment, which is the smallest fee or the smallest break of the TV money that anybody's going to get this year, is £98 million.
Wow.
So you can only imagine. I didn't hear what the prize is for winning.
That's for a team that gets relegated?
Yeah, so you get relegated. Yeah. You're like, well, I guess we profit it. there's going to be a challenge there. So that money, you're going to see absurd fees this year coming to the Premier League.
It's almost like China.
And you'll probably see a bit of a golden age in terms of bosses in charge. I'm not saying Mourinho is going to be at Manchester United, but you will have Klopp, you rarely see big teams having new managers, as many as you've seen, that are going to be potentially overturning the apple cart of their roster. Whoever takes over at Chelsea is going to discard a lot of dross. And That's an interesting move there.
City too, right?
City, they're going to need, I don't want to say a complete overhaul, but I mean, Pep Guardiola right now is potentially looking and saying, I don't have use for a back of Kolarov's skill set. I don't have use for, you know, a guy who's going to play like Yaya that I can't count on. I mean, look at the guys he's had in similar positions. Xabi Alonso, Andres Iniesta, Xavi. He has had that guy who you don't have any question they're going to give you their all for 90 minutes.
Just looking down who City started in its 11 and whether or not they'd be back under Guardiola, in my mind, Joe Hart, I think he'll be back. Pablo Zabaleta, maybe to probably. Kolarov, I don't think so. Demichelis, absolutely not. Otamendi, maybe. Fabian Delph, I think, might stick around. I think David Silva may
Delph, I think, could become a star in a Pep system.
Horrible match, though, against Leicester. Horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. David Silva, I'm not so sure about. He picked up another ankle injury, I think, and he's going to be out for a while. And he's starting to get that label as injury prone, you know? And I don't know if he brings a lot of Pep attributes that Pep really likes. And so maybe Silva on the move. Fernandinho, I think you can find other holding midfielders that are just like him.
I'm still constantly confusing him and Fernando.
Yeah, it's confusing. Very confusing. There's only an in separating the
Well,
two.
I'm thrilled with, to cut off your story, Fulham, or Spurs bought Moussa Dembele, so they have Moussa Dembele and Dembele.
Yeah.
And Columbus Crew bought Ola Kamara to go with Kai Kamara. So double Kamara forwards there. So hopefully we can see more confusion like the Fernando, Fernandinho.
Just to finish that off,
Aguero.
Yaya Toure not coming back.
No.
Raheem Sterling, interesting case. Hasn't had a very good year, I don't think.
Maybe he's on the, what do they call it, the hippie crack. The inhalants. I don't rate him very much. He's capable of the sublime, as they often say in soccer broadcasting, but I don't really like him. I thought that was a good move by Liverpool. I think Firmino, honestly, over the long haul, brings more to the table.
Mm-mm. Yeah, maybe. I think it's kind of hard to say.
After he had, right. I'm assuming that his second year goes more smoothly because I think it's a big, that's the other thing we'll see with these new Bundesliga players coming. It's a different league, not necessarily better, not necessarily worse, but it's a different league altogether.
I think Aguero's back. I think Kelechi Iheanacho's back.
Oh, I would imagine. I think there could be a big future for Iheanacho.
But I think there'll be a third forward brought in, though, as well, and somebody who fits Pep's standards a little bit more. You probably have a better idea than I do in terms of what German forward, but maybe it's Lewandowski. Maybe it's Thomas Müller. Who knows?
Yeah, I always think there's something to the Mueller to Manchester United constant flirtations. That wouldn't surprise me, and I like the idea of Martial running off of Mueller a great deal.
Yeah,
I think it's very interesting. Martial, I think, is a very promising future. And it'll be interesting to see what United's plans are with Depay, Memphis Depay, who basically came to be with LVG.
Yeah, he's gonna go the same way that Angel Di Maria went, I think.
It's very possible.
Very similar.
Although
situations.
Di Maria, and granted, the French league is not deep at all, but having an absolutely amazing year for PSG. They have not lost. They have a legitimate shot at an unbeaten season. I couldn't remember if I read today that they have Monaco one more time or they don't have Monaco. They have a 24-point lead on the table. 24-point lead. They have allowed 12 goals in 25 matches in League One.
That's sick.
It is unbelievable. Lyon is down there. Nantes, Al Bedoya, my boy. You're my boy, Bedoya.
Nantes. Not Nantes.
Nantes.
Not like Jim Nantes.
Nantes.
Or Larry Nantes.
Nantes. No, it depends what the letter is after that. I took many years of French. Nantes, Jim Nantes, Larry Nantes.
Yep, already said both of them.
I know, I like that.
Thank you.
I like that. I'll start calling them Larry.
There's also Larry Nantes Jr. now with the Lakers.
Yes, there is. I am trying to acquire Julius Randle in my keeper fantasy league because his keeper value is $1.
Yee. Yeah, yep. I would do that too. I think we're getting a little bit off topic.
I just want to say, if you're listening out there and you're in my keeper fantasy basketball league, and I'm officially missing the playoffs because I missed the draft this year.
You can't have that as an owner.
There was a press conference. It was a bad moment. The media were all over me. But I have Anthony Davis and John Wall as keepers at pretty good rates. And I offered Nicholas Batum, Jordan Clarkson, Klay Thompson and another player who's really, really good. I can't remember his name. Chandler Parsons, just to get Karl Anthony Towns from a team who's an $18 keeper.
Wow.
And he says, I'll get better offers. And what? I want to tell you, I want to tell this guy, you have not and you will not.
No.
You will not get a better offer.
I think that was a dumb deal, Nick.
Give me
KU. Just to even propose that.
I'm trying to save $5 and keep KAT instead of Nerlens Noel, but I will. Mm. I'll keep Nerlens.
Mm.
Yes.
KAT could shape your franchise, Nick.
I know. KAT and Anthony Davis in the center posts for the next as many years as I play fantasy hoops, which might not be that long.
Solid decade.
Shout out to Bob Bradley at Le Havre. They are still within the possibility of, as it stands, they need 1 point to be back in a position to compete for promotion. They're in seventh place. I do love this about France. These are the top three teams right now in terms of the League Two. Dijon, Nancy, that's just the name.
Nancy.
Nancy.
N-A-N-C-Y. What?
Nancy. Nancy.
Is that near Nance?
Nancy. I'd love to watch that game. Mm. I would fly in for that game.
I would too.
Mark my words. We are going to France.
I'll pull for Nance. You can pull for Nancy.
Nance and Nancy. We should probably put a bow on this one. Nick Mandola and Ben Tsujimoto here. Any other thoughts, any other stories that popped into your mind this week that came across your eyes, Ben Tsujimoto, as things to talk about?
I'm just scouring Twitter trying to see signings for all sorts of colleges, soccer teams in Western New York. And it's hard to find. You know, there's only so many times you can search Bonaventure in Twitter.
Yeah,
see what comes out,
and you'll get double Bonaventure. You'll get,
I
can't say his name either.
Double Bonaventure?
Bonaventure, who plays for Bonaventure?
Akinlosotu.
Akinlosotu, yes.
Yeah,
I have to see it in front of me. No, okay, good. I'm glad you've screwed it up.
Yeah.
You horrible, horrible
person.
I'm
probably right.
I had to laugh. We are in the thick. It's taken a little longer than we'd like because with the risk of sounding egotistical, there's a lot of interest in playing for FC Buffalo this year. And we have had some really good responses, and you know, some coaches or players got back to us a little later than usual. I think it is it's been thrilling. There are still I think the number is 54 names.
Wow.
And every name on that list is someone we think you know, will come if formally invited. So
that's a really big roster.
I really hope. Yeah, certainly it won't take all 54.
Oh, okay. Can you trade for Adriano?
Or even half of that.
I just want to see Adriano.
I'm sure he's gigantic.
Yeah.
He must be.
Like Knox Cameron kind of big?
No, I mean like pork chop sandwiches kind of big.
Ooh.
The Sooge is going out
delicious.
To eat after this.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, so are we right up against it, Derek Kramer? Fantastic producer.
Our fantastic. Well,
we got to go.
Yeah, I did.
And we will. So check us out. Soccer.buffalonews.com. And my stuff's up at prosoccertalk.nbcsports.com. You can also check out fcbuffalo.org. Our schedule is out. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. You'll see games against other teams and more soon to be announced.
Can you get tickets yet?
You can get season tickets, and we would encourage everyone. It means a big deal to us. Working on a special season ticket pack for people who play in a certain league, so pay attention to our...
the English Premier League.
Yes. Trying to get Tony Hibbert to come to games.
Awesome.
See you next week.